What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 136 of Confessions of a Market Maker. I'm your co-host, Ray, aka All Day Ray, aka Razor Ramon. And I'm joined here by my witty co-host, former market maker of 20 years and current trading educator, the man who's moved more paper than a payday loan office in Hialeah. He couldn't care less what your pronouns are. Because you are not him, the gorilla of Hell Street, aka the proper villain. JJ, how's it going?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. JJ, I want to ask you a question before I introduce our guest here. Speaking of proper villains, have you seen the NBA betting scandal involving the mob?
I saw something about that. I haven't read about it yet, but curious to learn, and then you can actually tell me what's actually going on the betting side because that is a world I have known nothing about, but very curious.
It's always funny. I always found, not that I do too much. I mean, no, I do some betting, but I do more like the fantasy like tournaments inside of that. And basketball's always seemed like weird to me because of like the injuries and I don't know. But no, come to find out, the mob has their hand in some of the players and the coaches in there. You know, the long story short, this is not a betting podcast, but one of the players. He told some of the mob guys, JJ, that he was going to fake an injury like 9 minutes into the game.
Really?
Yeah, and then there were some poker games involved as well. So just yeah, I don't know. It made me think of you a little bit with
It's nice to see those gentlemen are still active and still getting into trouble, you know?
People are saying the mob is back. anyway,
They never
so
left. They never left.
they never left. They never, you just, I feel like we haven't heard from them in a long time, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, they're doing their thing behind the scenes, of
Exactly.
course. And so,
Exactly.
anyway, we'll jump into our guest today. This man has built himself a serious name in the online trading world. He's made his mark as a short seller and showing his receipts along the way. A co-founder of myinvestingclub.com. You may know him as ATO9. I'm talking about Alex Timiz.
Yep.
Alex Timiz. Alex, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us.
What's up? Good to be here, guys. You guys have an awesome show.
Appreciate it, man. We appreciate you saying that. Appreciate you joining. I guess do you have any thoughts on the NBA betting scandal?
I mean, there's scams in the market and there's scams in the real world. I mean, pretty smart for them. What they were doing is they were essentially betting the under on the points,
Yeah.
and these players were getting injured and walking away. And that's what they
Oh.
were doing in small chunks too. It wasn't like $1 million bets, but it was small along the way so people don't catch it. And I think Not they
on the
got like
radar.
30 people, 18 to 30 people arrested. FBI got involved, but it just goes to show the same way that they fix the markets, they're fixing the games too. And who knows what else they're fixing.
No, I'm hearing people saying like wait till they start like this is I mean, well, imagine what's going on in college basketball. I mean, if they're doing this at the pro level, what's going on in college? Yeah, just funny stuff, interesting stuff. And they're having like they were fixing poker games too, JJ. They were using like one of the NBA coaches as like the highlight,
Oh,
and they, I don't know,
okay.
set decks, fix cards. I don't know, the same X-ray type stuff. I've heard of some of this technology, but interesting
Wow.
stuff. Alex, before we jump into some trading talk, man, I seen you hanging out with Donald Trump Jr. On your Twitter feed, man. What event was that out? And then what was the interaction like?
Yeah, so man, crazy story. It's all about kind of the people that you know. So about a year ago, one of my buddies, Jack Kellogg, he hit me up and he was going to go meet Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. So Jack has a newsletter with Tim Sykes. Tim Sykes is obviously very well connected in the industry. He knows everyone. So Tim Sykes got invited to this event for the Truth Social company. So DJT, the stock. So Truth Social had a company, had an event. And the company that was hosting the event was like an IR company, like an investor relations company. Long story short, Tim couldn't make it, so he sent Jack. Jack didn't want to go alone, he sent me. So about a year ago, we went to Mar-a-Lago. Trump couldn't make it because that was the time that he was getting indicted, the courts, this, that. But anyway, we went there, we had a good time. I kept in touch with some of these IR guys and, just start getting a little bit friendly with them because the guys are obviously very well connected. So this was actually their next event, and it was for a nuclear company. So a lot of people think that compute is the next constraint in AI, but compute is not the constraint, it's energy. So a lot of these energy companies are, trying to get a lot more of their word out. And this was a small modular reactor nuclear company that was a private company that hired the same IR company. And I was invited, and Trump Jr. was an investor, and he was the keynote speaker there. So we had dinner with him. It was a great time. Man, it was crazy. So everyone's in the room, everyone's doing their thing. Trump Jr. walks in immediately, like four Secret Service. They're like scoping up the room, bombarding the room with like each corner has like a Secret Service guy. One of the girls was hot, man. So I mean, you gotta say good job to this guy. He surrounded himself with hot women too, just like his dad. But they were on point every single time. They were checking anyone got too close. Like, no, you can't do it. But overall, like, his speech was great. Basically, what he was talking about, how they're going to cut the red tape in Washington to make it so that these nuclear companies have a bigger chance of being successful, because right now they're struggling with marketing. Everyone always thinks about the bad parts of nuclear, but there's a lot of good parts too. So that was the event in Palm Beach. It was great.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so cool. It was down in West Palm. Cool. Yeah. I've actually, it's funny you bring that up. I was talking with this woman down here who's like dealing with I don't know. She's something in the nuclear industry, and just it gets a bad rap, but the efficiency of nuclear energy is could be a game changer here. So all right, let's move this to trading now. Alex, you got a cool story, man. You got a cool come up. From humble beginnings. Just want to just give us into the how you got into trading.
So 11 and a half years ago, coming up on 12 years in February, but 11 and a half years ago, I was a barista at Starbucks making coffee, making minimum wage, had a girlfriend at the time. I would take her out to the movies, fill up my car with gas, and whatever extra dollars I had, I would just put it in the bank and save it up. It wasn't much money, a couple hundred bucks a week. Long story short, she ended up breaking up with me to be with a rich guy. That really fucked me up. And I said I have to get back at her by getting rich. Started researching best ways to get rich in America, real estate and the stock market. Stock market has a high barrier, I mean, real estate has high barrier to entry, couldn't get involved. Stock market had essentially no barrier to entry. You could start with as little as 500 bucks. So I started trading. And when I first started, I thought that the only way to get involved in the market was the Warren Buffett buy and hold. Like, how the hell am I ever gonna make money? Then I discovered what day trading is, which is you could be in and out of the stock same day, minute, hour, whatever it is, and the percentage return is going to be a lot larger. So I was like, this is perfect. So I started buying stocks. I started with the classic buy the breakout. Every time I bought the breakout, stock would go straight down, and I just kept losing money. So my first year, I lost money. My second year, I discovered something called short selling, which is making money when stocks go down. I was like, dude, this is perfect. Instead of hitting the buy button, I'm going to hit the short button, and I'm going to be rich. The first short trade I ever took was a stock called VGGL. They don't even trade anymore. Shorted 2,000 shares at $4 a share, made 50 cents a share, made $1,000, and I was hooked since. And then by my second year, broke even trading. And then my third year, I was making a couple hundred dollars a day. And then the rest is history.
Nice,
Nice.
nice. So just a
Nice.
nice like a steady progression.
It's amazing that you started trading because of a girl, because very say a similar story for me, but that was back in 1993. So it's amazing how many women have launched trading careers.
And you know what it is? Like at the time, it really messed me up.
Oh, I know.
But
I've been there just 20 years earlier. Yeah, it really messes you up.
now it's the biggest lesson. Now it's the biggest lesson.
Exactly.
So, from my understanding, Alex, are you still just strictly short side? Are you any longs at all?
So I'm primarily in the day-to-day trading. I'm 99% short bias. But for the longer term, let's say the investments like the S&P 500, Amazon, Apple, those are long swings essentially forever. So the day-to-day trading, my whole thing now is back when the pandemic era happened, 2020, when the entire market went down, I saw the velocity at which the market rebounded, right? So I always told myself, seeing that back, 5 years ago, that whenever there's any type of big correction, the masses are usually pretty wrong, right? They say the market is crashing, it's the economy's over, the bull market's done, and in the short term, yeah, sure, but the market always finds a way to come back, right? If you're buying these garbage stocks, you know, they're not going to come back, but these Apple, Amazon, the stocks that of companies that we use every single day, they're not going anywhere. They're essentially printing more money. So when the pandemic happened and I recognized how fast the market rebounded, my thought process was the next time that it happens, I want to be involved and I want to make sure I'm in big. Next time it happened was 2022, right? When the entire market collapsed, Facebook went from $300 to $95. You know, a lot of these stocks went down 50%. And that's kind of where I started more longer term investing. So what I do now is I take the profits that I make short term from day trading and I put it more into longer term investments. Did the same thing in April. You know, in April when we were crashing, everyone was like, it's over, it's over, it's over. I mean, no one really thought that we were going to get to all-time highs this fast. I didn't even think so either, but I said the pattern is going to repeat. Let me deploy some capital when they say that it's the biggest trade war in history. We're going to get into war. We're getting into this and that. And lo and behold, if you just got even a little bit involved on individual names, your money essentially doubled. If you got into the index, it's almost up 50%. So now my goal is to take that money that I'm making trading and make it so that I'm putting it into all these stocks. I mean, even looking at the market today, Microsoft had news with OpenAI. Stock is up huge, right? NVIDIA is up, Tesla's up, you know, Amazon, Apple, all these things. You know, for me, I saw what it was like to get left behind in 2020. I saw what it was like from stories of my dad in 2008. And now seeing it happen over again, it's just the human psychology. Human psychology always tends to repeat. Everyone's always saying it's going to crash. And yeah, dude, 2022 to 24 was a huge bear market. It sucked for 2 years, but now it's probably going to be 5 to 10 years of up. And then after that, it's going to be another 2 years of down. So people always try to time the market. People always try to say, oh, I'm going to buy the top. I'm going to buy the bottom. I'm going to sell the top. But the reality is, as long as you're involved somewhat, days like today, you know, I made $1,000 trading, but I made significantly more just looking at my long-term holds today, you know?
Yeah, well said. You know, I feel like we've talked about this like plenty, JJ, right? Like it's like the market changes, the technology change, but like to your point, Alex, like you said, like the psychology doesn't change.
And also, the structure never changes, right? I mean, we were looking at Meta today, right? There's a couple of billion shares in the float and 10 million shares trade a day. 84% is institutionally owned. It's locked up for 30 years with long-term holders who paid for it in cash. So they're not going to get margined out on a margin event like in April. So that's why the market hits new highs, because it just keeps flushing out the weak-handed margin longs, you know. COVID was a margin robbery. April was a margin robbery. And people who take advantage of that, I mean, been doing this 33 years, flush them, take them back up to higher highs. And now it's beautiful for the people who took advantage of it. Very smart to take that short selling mentality and then flip into longs for the longer term stuff. That's beautiful. Really nice.
You know what's
Love to see
really
that.
funny? You know what's really funny? We're at all-time highs on the market right now. And we're just like, all right. Let's get a little bit of a correction. Let's get some better prices. Let's buy. The moment the market goes down, the moment
Nobody
it
wants
starts getting a little bit of correction,
to
we're like, oh shit, dude, what the fuck
buy.
am I gonna do?
Exactly. Nobody wants to touch it when it
You
drops,
know,
right?
it's the craziest thing. It's the psychology of humans is unbelievable. And you know what? That's just what I always try to remember is that at the end of the day, most humans that are involved in the market long term are not really checking this stuff day to day. They're looking at what CNBC is telling them. They're looking at what Cramer is telling them. They're looking at what, you know, the news articles are telling them. And the reality is, all these people, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, man. I have people that have not, and that are, let's say, plumbers, right? I have guys that are, you know, friends that are plumbers, and the markets are all-time highs. They're like, oh, you know what? I'm not gonna buy. The market's gonna crash anyway. You know, the market's gonna crash. It's gonna crash. All these guys haven't made a dollar, and they keep talking about the market crashing. Yes, eventually there is gonna be a huge pullback. We got one in April. We got one in 2022. We got one in 2020. You know, we got one in 2014 or 2016, whatever it was. It happens. This is human nature. It's gonna continue to happen. But for me, I know that there's a cap on short selling for these small cap stocks. Eventually, you become your own worst enemy. There's not enough liquidity. I mean, there might be, but you know, the way that these stocks are manipulated, if they find you're on the wrong side of the trade, they will make sure to smoke you out. So you can't go mega size on all of these small cap stocks, but that consistent money that you can make, whether it be 2, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50K a day, if you end up putting that more into longer term passive investments, and liquidity is not your issue, it's just time. It's just time.
I really like that
That's
overall
a pretty,
approach
it's
for
very
sure. That's
smart.
very sound approach. Alex, yeah, you brought up like 2020, like that COVID era. I'm interested, as you being someone who's like been a long time like short seller, did the increase of retail participation during that era and then what we've seen afterwards, did that kind of change how some of these like names that you're used to shorting behaved?
Of course, yeah, definitely. I would say back in the day, right? So I've been trading for almost 12 years now. Shorting was a very different ball game back then because locates were very scarce, right? You would have to wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. to be able to locate, and by the time 8 a.m. rolled up, if there was high demand for those stocks, the locate would be completely gone, and
Tomorrow.
good luck trying to get more tomorrow, right? So what that would do is there'd be less competition, right? It would be mostly long bias traders buying these highly dilutive, highly speculative names. And most of the time, the opening print was the high of the day. So I knew a lot of traders that would just short at the open and, you know, cover at the close, and they made significant amounts of money until the market changed. And what ended up happening is a lot of these brokers start to realize that the money is in the locates. Commissions are eventually going to zero, and the money is in the locates. Short interest, borrow fees, margin fees, this, that, the other thing. So they've created more of these relationships with the lenders of these locate shares, right? And for us, we don't care if they're real or fake, and the brokers don't care if they're real or fake. All they care about is if it's being, you know, delivered to the platform properly. So what ended up happening as the years passed, the availability of locates, you know, went a lot more abundant, right? So no longer did you have to locate these stocks ahead of time. Essentially, at any moment, at any day, there's full inventory because there's 15 to 20 different locate vendors. That makes it more competitive. When there's more traders that are on the same side of the trade, the inverse happens. If there's more traders on the short side of the trade, chances are it's probably going to squeeze. If there's more traders on the long side of the trade, chances are it's probably going to panic. So I think that the brokers, the traders, the demand, everything kind of just expanded in such a way that there is more competition, there is more manipulation, and there's a lot of inexperienced traders. The reason why you get these big, crazy pre-market squeezes is a combination of traders being in too early, traders over-leveraging themselves, and the manipulators knowing exactly how to capitalize on that momentum. So for me, when I first started trading, you know, you could short at the market open, cover at the close all day, and you'd be fine. Then eventually it transitioned to, okay, you know, you could trade these day one stocks after they've kind of put on the top, after you see a very clear seller on the tape and piggybacking that trend. Now, what ends up happening, at least for me, is these day one high volume stocks are extraordinarily dangerous because you never really know what their true agenda is. So what I try to focus on these days, I focus on, we're very lucky that there's 5 or 10 different stocks moving every single day. That's a blessing. Most traders, they shouldn't get accustomed to that. Usually it's one or two stocks a day, but we're in a massive bull market. There's crazy things happening. I'm primarily focused on the stocks that people don't care about. For example, we had stock VSEE today, VC. So VC traded, let me just make sure the data is right. VC traded 250 million shares. Went from 60 cents all the way up to $4, and now it's coming back down. Okay, fine. But for me, I traded FRGT. FRGT, a little bit less volume, a little bit less eyeballs, a little bit less attention, same dilutive nature, but there's less competition on that stock. When I first started, I always felt that to be a professional trader, to be a professional short seller, I had to nail the biggest, baddest play of the day. I had to slay the dragon. And what ended up happening is the dragon would burn me alive every single time. So now I leave that to the experts, man. You want to trade those crazy stocks? You want to go have, go for it. Go for it. I'd rather stick to my boring stocks that I know consistently will pay out money. It may not be $100,000 a day, but it certainly adds up. And those profits being invested into longer term assets will make up the difference. So these
Smart.
days, I'm more hands off with these crazy runners. These days, I respect the manipulators. I respect how much power they have. I respect how smart they are. And I also understand that I am missing opportunity by not going long these plays. So I'm trying to adjust, I'm trying to adapt, but it's like a basketball player going to soccer. Both sports are using the ball. One's with your hand, one's with your foot. So I'm
Yeah,
still
but
getting
that's smart though. Like, here's the thing. After, 3 decades in the business, I've seen the traders who don't learn how to adapt. That's it. They're gone. They go and sell real estate, do things like that, right? So this is a key thing, and it's great that you're doing that, and it's great that you're advising people how to do that too. I think, it would have been cool to see you operate pre-2005, pre-Reg SHO. Those were the days. You just hit anything you wanted, 10, 20,000, 30,000 shares, and then just cover them back. And no locates, no borrows, no nothing. It was, and then you always hide the short position in a market maker in inventory too. That was always nice back in the day. So, a larger trader like yourself would have a relationship with a market maker, open an account, and they'd let you use their inventory. So
yeah.
stuff like that, was th those were the gold.
Oh, you still there, JJ?
These sort of scammy deals versus investing, which is a lot of traders don't get the difference. And it's really cool that you're advising people that way too. It's
Yeah.
nice to see.
No, I appreciate it. And what I've learned is the market is always changing. Like what worked last month is not working this month. What worked 6 months ago is not working now. What worked a year ago is not working now. And I feel like, especially with AI, and everyone always talks AI, 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 my ass, right? But the thing is, I think that these algos and these robots are getting a lot smarter, a lot quicker
Definitely,
through
definitely.
AI, right? So I think that's they are noticing the exact places where they could break the support, have short sellers pile in, immediately reclaim it without giving them a second to think, halting the stock up, right?
Yeah, we used to do it all the time, except we'd use six phone lines. Now it's, they run 300 trades, and the time it took me to do two phone call trades, this thing can run, 300, 400 trades. It's beautiful to see the efficiency of this new electronic age. It's absolutely, it's just a masterpiece of coding.
And there's plenty of money to be made on both sides. You know, these people that are capitalizing on piggybacking these long bias moves are making great money. People that are
Endless.
waiting for the sellers to show up on the short side are making great money. It's that if you get stuck in the middle, or if you're doing random stuff, or you're trading any direction of the stock without any type of confirmation, whether that
Yeah.
be if you're on the long side, you're looking for the bid to reclaim. If you're on the short side, you're looking for the sellers to keep refreshing. As long as you're following, it's the trend is your
Yeah.
friend, right? I
Yeah.
mean,
And the beautiful thing is the liquidity. Now, coming from the perspective of, I'm the seller. I'm the dumper, right? I've always have been. Look at, what was that? CODX, $1 billion in dollar volume yesterday. 30% of that, $300 million in the bank at the end of the day. ASST, $1.6 billion at $1.63, right? Beautiful dollar volume. You could sell 30, 40% into that. Nobody would even know that you could tiptoe in, tiptoe out with $200, $300 million in a day.
what
Wonderful.
about Beyond Meat?
Oh, that was beautiful too, right? Their last hurrah, right?
Crazy.
Do people still eat that stuff?
I don't know, man. I went to the. I remember when it went public. I went to the grocery store. I looked at it. It was gray. It was nasty. I didn't. Sorry.
That tastes bad. I dated this girl that was like into that stuff at the time. This years ago, and yeah, no, it just tastes like shit. It's terrible.
It was gray.
I don't even think it's good for you. I don't even think that stuff's good for you either. But I don't know.
I don't know.
I like what you said, Alex. I think I shared like the same like belief or style that like. and maybe you tell me what you think. Like a lot of these like real popular like heavy names. So you mentioned how you like you'd rather go for like maybe something like a little less like attention. I feel like it's just easier to properly evaluate your risk like in a trade where these high names could, especially if you're on the short side, probably greater chance of getting squeezed. And things like that. Do you share that kind of? And then also to the I think a well-found point you said about this, the competitiveness in the stock as well. Would you share that same sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, think of an analogy like this. You go to the bar and there's a cute blonde girl, she's looking real nice, and you have every single guy trying to talk to her, man. 5, 10, 15, 20 guys are going to try to talk to her. She's gonna take your money and she's gonna slap you in the face. That's the hot stock of the day. Instead of what you do is you find the other stock that may not be as cute, but she still wants to have a good time. And no one's really talking to that girl. And any attention she gets, she's going to be really excited about. So that's the way that I think about it is if you're trading the hot stock of the day, the main runner, you're probably going to lose. And there's too much attention there. Focus on the stocks that people are not really caring about. There's still an edge there. There's still an opportunity there. There may not be as much money, but at the end of the day, isn't this game just about consistency? Isn't this game about consistently showing up and consistently making money, not making 100 grand here, losing 200 grand here, making 50 there, losing 40
Exactly.
there, you know?
It's a business.
Well said, great analogy. And the less attractive girl is not going to be as volatile neither. She's going to be
Yeah, she's
a
gonna be a nice girl, man.
shit.
She's not gonna key your car. She's
Let's
not
talk
gonna,
to Alex, when you wake up in the morning, you're looking like pre-market and stuff. Maybe just give us like kind of like an idea, like what are you scanning the market for? Like what's going to trigger entry for you in a stock?
Yeah, so great questions. I'll walk you through like the whole process. So when I was first starting in my trading career, I would wake up at 4 a.m. every single day. I wake up very, very early, but now I've gotten a little bit older. I made a little bit of money. I'm a little bit lazy. So I wake up around 6 a.m. So around 6 a.m., check my phone, see if the overall markets are gapping up, gapping down. What is Trump talking about today? Get to my desk, and what I look at is the top percentage gainers of the day. So first I'm looking at the top 20 top highest percentage gaining gapping up stocks. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the news. Some of these stocks have pharmaceutical news, some of these stocks have AI news, some of these stocks have no news. Okay, fine. Usually I like to stick away from phase two or phase three pharmaceutical trials. I like to stick to, let's say it's a phase one. If there's any type of press release with any billion-dollar company, I'm not really trying to get involved. If a company's partnering with NVIDIA, if a company's partnering with Walmart, not really getting interested. But if I see they have a letter of intent, or if I see that this marijuana company turned into a crypto company, turned into an AI company, okay, fine. So then I'll narrow it down to maybe 10 stocks. Then what I'll do is I'll look at the daily chart on these 10 stocks. What I used to like to do is I used to like to see these stocks that wick up and wick down the same day. Usually history tends to repeat itself. But now these days, I'm trying to see, is this a stock that in the past it had a multi-day run, or has it been a stock that gets one day volume and just kind of disappears, right? If it's had a multi-day run, I'm probably going to ignore it. If it looks like it's setting up a daily chart breakout, probably going to ignore it. I'm looking for these stocks that, push up one day, they get high volume and you never hear from them for like 6 months. And it happens all the time. So then I'll narrow it down to maybe five stocks. After I narrow down those five stocks, I check, filings, fundamentals. Back in the day, you had to really study these fundamentals, study these filings. But this day and age, everyone's got these platforms that do the work for you, which has also made it a lot more, democratized, which has made the information readily available. And as you guys know, if the information is readily available, it doesn't matter. So I look at the fundamentals of it. And then from there, what does the pre-market action look like? Is it pre-market continuing to have higher lows, higher lows, higher lows, higher lows? Or pre-market, did it kind of push up and fail and now it's making lower highs, lower highs, lower highs? Essentially, from there, I'm looking for those stocks that made lower highs, not the stocks that continue to make higher lows, not the stocks that continue to break out. Because to me, pre-market is kind of almost painting the picture of what the day might look like. If these stocks are getting volume very early pre-market and they continue to grind higher and grind higher, chances are they're probably going to continue because shorts are trapped. But if the stock pushes up and fails, chances are the longs are trapped and any bounce will fail. So after I see the pre-market chart of these stocks, ideally pushing and failing down, Then what I'll do is very simple: support and resistance. Wait for the stocks to bounce at the open. I usually trade between 9:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. The reason why is after 10:30 a.m. I consistently lose money. Reason why I consistently lose money is because early on in my trading career, I would hold for these all-day fades. I would hold for these big moves because when you started, you could short bell to bell, but that changed. So I was still stuck in that previous mindset of holding bell to bell, and I would make money 9:30 to 10:30. I would lose money after 10:30. So now what I do is I cut off my trading at 10:30 and I walk away. Reason why is because usually around lunchtime, the volume shrinks, the algos take control, and these stocks tend to bounce. So rather than trying to figure out which stocks are going to bounce and which stocks are not going to bounce, I ultimately say assume all of them are going to bounce and just walk away.
Well, is that not bad for an hour's day of work? Not bad at all. So we're just going to take a quick time out here to let the listeners know about our trading Discord server, the Trading Syndicate, where we offer not only ES, where JJ teaches and trades, but other futures, instruments, stocks, crypto. And we have a DFS and sports betting channel, which I'm highly active in. You can come join us at thetradingsyndicate.org. Alex, I guess how do you think about like sizing? Into shorts, I guess both in terms of like your, percent like on account size, or like the liquidity, of the stock. I mean, I imagine some, most of these that you're shorting are fairly liquid.
Good question. So you have to be able to grade your setups. You have to know what you make money on, what you don't make money on, what you're good at, what you're bad at. So what I would do is like for every day's shorting into resistance on the setups that I mentioned, a few minutes ago, the gap ups, the fades, and shorting into the bounce, I'd probably consider that like a B minus or C plus setup. It shows up every day, fairly consistent, but you don't really want to size up too aggressively because they may bounce, they may trap, they may do something that you're not really planning. So I would use a much smaller size on a setup like that. I make my biggest opportunities, my biggest days. Everyone knows kind of something called the first red day and the sell the news setup. So let's start with the sell the news. Sell the news is a very, very common thing. It's been around forever. Essentially, stocks get bid up into some sort of catalyst. And the moment the catalyst comes out, usually it triggers some sort of profit taking and a sell off. So sell the news has been very, very profitable for me. It's a setup that I know works over 90% of the time. But the key is to not be early. So when I see an opportunity like that, that's when I want to get aggressive. That's when I want to size up. Maybe it happens a couple of times a year, right? One good example is the Donald Trump election, right? DJT was grinding up, grinding up, grinding up all until his election in November. The day he got elected, the day that he finally won, stock ended up cratering and it hasn't been as high ever since. So that's one example of a high probability setup that I like to be very, very aggressive on. The
Hey
next
Alex,
setup is
can I just ask you a question while we're on that strategy? You said the key is not being early. What so in your mind, like you're waiting for a confirmation of some sort, or I guess you're playing it more safe. Like what? So what would be a confirmation for you on the setup?
Yeah, so most of the time on the sell the news setup, the day of the catalyst is the day that the profit taking finally triggers. So in Trump's case, let's say it was November 6th was the election day, if I remember. If I remember correctly, I was actually in Dubai for my honeymoon, but if I remember correctly, what ended up happening is when he won, the stock gapped up even more. And then as soon as the market opened, it just cratered all day. So for me, seeing that it was the day that the catalyst was to be announced, his presidency, and seeing that the sellers were finally jumping on board as well is kind of what triggered that profit-taking moment. There always has to be a signal, right? And the best thing is if you have a signal, whether it be like a death candle, a high volume rejection, it could even be a news catalyst, right? It could be some sort of news triggering on the stock. So for, I mean, like one of the most recent examples was, I think BMNR, one of these crypto treasury plays, is gapping up and gapping up and gapping up and gapping up and going crazy and super, super extended. And then they had a big offering, like a multi-billion dollar offering, which was finally the catalyst to trigger some profit taking. So when you have these extended stocks, it's good to have them, start to come back. But when you have a catalyst to accelerate it, That's the gasoline on the fire. Another example is MicroStrategy, MSTR. If you guys
Sure.
remember when Bitcoin broke out around 74,000, 75,000, MicroStrategy went to like 500 something. It
Yep.
was setting up for a huge gap up, huge, huge, huge. It went from, let me actually get the numbers correct. It went from, one moment. It went from like 340 to 540 in like 3 or 4 days. And then when it finally had that rejection day, at 9:43 a.m., Citron Research came out and said, we're short the stock, right? You know,
Andrew.
Citron is Citron, but you had a catalyst. You had an
No,
excellent
no.
chart and then you
He's
had the
not a bad
news.
guy. He's been around since the 90s. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you could say whatever you want about the guy. The guy's obviously made more money than me, but he had a cat. He was the gasoline to
Exactly.
that fire,
Yeah.
you know? And ever since, MicroStrategy hasn't traded higher. So, that sell the new setup with a catalyst is, I think, super powerful. And I think my best setup is obviously the first red day, multiple days of extension. And the first day that it goes red usually triggers profit taking. It triggers profit taking because people that are in from earlier end up selling. People that missed it end up trying to buy and they get smoked. And a lot of these short sellers start to realize that that's when the momentum finally shifts. So unless it's like a first red day or unless it's like a sell the new setup, I'm not being aggressive at all. Because I'm waiting for those 90 to 95% home run opportunities to really get aggressive. Because the day-to-day stuff is sure, man. Make the way I see it is the day-to-day stuff is like the regular season football game. You're
Yeah.
playing, you're playing, you're playing, and then the Super Bowl comes. You better make sure
Yes.
you're very, very prepared for the Super Bowl. And these first red days and these sell the news are the Super Bowls.
Yep.
Yeah, I've
Nice.
always
you mentioned you trade from like 9:30 to 10:32. I guess that's like one of the I definitely lean more short. Yeah, I'm definitely trade way more short side than long. I guess one of the things, I mean, there's many things that attract me to short selling, but the moves happen quickly too. Like you can, what's the old adage, elevator down, staircase on the way up.
Yep.
It's just nice to get in and out, get the move done, a nice solid move. But with that being said, obviously, and you know this better than anyone, shorting, and I think this is what scares people off from shorting is that like you can get squeezed, and getting squeezed is obviously not pleasant. Maybe share with us, Alex, maybe some like a tough squeeze or just lessons you learned from that, and maybe that
Yeah.
informs kind of why like you have the style you have now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my worst loss ever was on TOP, Chinese liquidation stock. I lost 450K. So before that, I think it was 2023. So at the start of 2023, I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do like a little bit of a challenge to see how long it'll take me to grow a $35,000 account to $1 million. And we were blessed during the start of 2023. We had Bed Bath and Beyond. We had AMC. We had all these crazy, crazy stocks. And I took that $35,000 account and grew it to $1 million in 55 days. I grew it by March. So by the end of March, I had that $1 million, you know, 35 to million. And most of the time, I usually just wire out the money, but I said, screw it. I'm feeling hot. Let's keep running. April came around. And when April came around, there were all these Chinese liquidation plays, and I didn't get any of them, not one. I saw all these people making all this money on social media, you know, shorting these liquidation plays. I got none of them. So when TOP finally showed up and it was a Chinese liquidation, I'm like, dude, I got $1 million account. I'm going to make $1 million on this trade. So the way that these Chinese liquidations were happening back then is usually it would push up and the first halt down was the signal. After the first halt down, it would unhalt. It would keep halting down, halting down, halting down. So on the scenario of TOP, it ended up going up to like 15 and then halted down to like 12. Without any questions asked, I went full size at 12, right? I was like, okay, this is it. Full size, done. And then it ended up holding up to 13 and then going up to 14 and then went to 15. And I was like, okay, like this is a little bit odd. Like, why isn't it breaking down? 15 broke and halted up to 19. I'm like, okay, fuck. All right, like, what am I going to do? And at that point, I said, dude, I just made $1 million in 55 days. There's no way this stock is going to get me out. Fuck it, I'm holding. So it's 19 and it starts to come back down to like 14, 15. At that point, I could have taken a small loss, walked away, and moved on. Nope, I started dipping into margin and adding more. So I'm adding more and it's just consolidating for the rest of the day. It's around like 14 to 17, just consolidation, consolidation, consolidation. And I'm adding down, I'm doubling down, I'm fucking tripling down. And at this point, I'm in way too big, like way too big that any single tick is really starting to make me panic. So instead of what a normal trader would do, risk size down, bro, I started praying to God. I started praying to Buddha. I started praying to anyone that you could possibly have. I started praying. Eventually, it was getting towards the end of the day. Stock was consolidating all day. And, I had a choice. My choice was either just get out of stock or maybe hold it overnight and see what happens. I was like, maybe let me just hold it overnight and see what happens. Eventually, 5 minutes into the close, stock halts up and breaks out the highs. At this point, I'm thinking in my head, all right, at 4 p.m., the stock is going to unhalt. It's obviously very strong. I got to get the fuck out of here. So when the stock halts around $20 a share and it unhalts at 4 p.m., instantaneously it's at 25. And I'm trying to cover. I'm trying to cover. I'm trying to cover. And there's no liquidity. I'm the fucking liquid. I'm jamming this shit up. 25, 27, 30, 32. By the time 32 comes around, I'm all out and I'm staring at the biggest loss I ever had, 450K.
You got caught in a crazy Ivan.
Had I not stopped out, it went to 300 and I would have lost 10 million.
Oh,
There you
shit.
go. It went to fucking 300. So that was my stupid self had so many avenues to get out for a very controlled loss. Control being 100 grand, right? 100 grand's fine. It's not a really big deal, but it was because I was overconfident. I was stubborn. I added to a loser. And I refused to accept that I was wrong. How can I, the guy that took a $35,000 account to $1 million in 55 days, stop out on this Chinese stock? I missed every single Chinese stock. I'm not going to miss this one. And since that day, I don't trade Chinese stocks. Since that day, I don't add to my losers. Since that day, I learned a very, very valuable lesson. I paid $450,000 for that lesson that thankfully so far, knock on wood, has prevented me from $1 million loss,
It's good.
No, good takeaways. And like you said, even like we said, like how could the guy that went from 35,000 to a million? It's like though, like that's like the trapping, right? Like when we start like feeling good about ourselves, like the market will humble your ass quick. That's good. So, Alex, how do you go about a self-review of like, not only just like your trading, but like maybe, yeah, like your decision making, your what's going on in your head emotionally, psychologically, all that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think trading, the longer that you do it, the more confident you get in yourself. I think that a lot of traders, when they first start, is they're trying to do a bunch of different everything because they don't know what works yet, right? So you see all these people on YouTube and social media that are saying you got to use, you got to, like for me, when I started, it was buy the breakout. Buy the breakout was everyone was talking about, buy the breakout, buy the breakout. But what you fail to realize about a lot of these people on YouTube and social media is they're giving you strategies, but they are not profitable traders, man. So you're over here trying to learn a strategy from some dude on YouTube that doesn't even make money. And then you're like, what the hell am I doing wrong? So for me, having the process be proven year over year, decade over decade, essentially, that it's the same thing repeats, right? What is the same thing that repeats? Humans get greedy, humans get biased, humans over leverage, and humans refuse to accept when they are wrong. If humans remain the same, the patterns and the trades will remain the same. We will continue to get big squeezes and big dumps until the day I die because the market is not going to change, because the participants are not going to change, which are humans, right? So I trust in the process so well because it's proven time and time again that if I just stick to my golden window of 9:30 to 10:30, if I cut out trading after 10:30, if I cut out the trading in pre-market that's trapping all these people, I found this little window that works just for me. That little window is exactly what I need, right? I don't need to trade oil. I don't need to trade futures. I don't need to work with crypto. This little 1 hour window that works for me has been consistent. And thankfully, it's just been, especially with this market happening right now, the opportunities are there.
That's, I always say that's the beautiful thing about the market. There's so many different ways to skin the cat. Alex, you work with new traders. traders. My question to you is like, what do you think? I mean, I'm sure there's a myriad of reasons why people are not successful in the market, but if you had to find like a common one, well, what do you think like reasons for traders to struggle and to find consistency and profitability?
People are not serious, man. They say they're serious. They say they want to be a trader. They say they want to work hard. Bullshit. Bullshit, bro. Like when I started trading, trading was like an obsession for me. It was something that I really was interested in. Like everyone has like a hobby. Something that like they look at on their free time, or something that excites them, or something that's fun for them. You know, my dad loves fishing. My dad will go fishing every single day. He watches fishing YouTube. Fishing to him is fun. So if my dad could start a career based on fishing, he'd be the happiest guy in the world. A lot of people, they get into trading for the money, which is obviously substantial if you do it right, but they lack the passion. For me, even to this day, I am watching trading videos. I am learning. I am getting better. And what you have to realize is when you're trading a guy against a guy like me. I am on the other side of your trade. So you better make sure that you're working harder than me. I hear all these people all the time. You know, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. You know, at MIC, we have video lessons. We have education. We have this, that. 98% of people, they don't watch the videos. They don't watch the lessons. They don't do fucking
Very
shit.
true.
So a lot
Exactly.
of people don't even, they say they want it, but you don't want it bad enough, man. You don't want it more than me. You know, I made it and I'm still hungry, right? I'm still hungry. So what a lot of people they have to understand is how serious are you about trading? Are you just gonna say, you know what, I'm a trader, man. Yeah, I wake up in the morning, I press a couple buttons, yeah, you know, I make 200, yeah, I lose 500, you know, this, that. Or are you gonna say, you know what, like, let me see what more I can learn. How can I get better? Am I actually tracking my trades? Am I attending trader meetups? Am I networking? Am I putting myself out there? Am I keeping myself accountable? Am I talking to other traders? What am I doing in my free time? Like for me, no matter what, every single day, I try to at least watch a trading video. There's traders that are better than me that are posting on YouTube and social media. I try to watch their videos. You know, if I do it, what the hell is your excuse? So I think a lot of people think they try to act like they're serious, but they're seriously full of shit, you know?
You're right.
You know?
You're right. I agree
Yep,
100%.
absolutely. Yeah, so this yeah, tell us a little bit more about MIC, what you got going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we it's been about 7 years now, 7.5 years. Basically, Bao is the guy that took me under his wing and helped me learn a lot of these strategies about trading in the markets. He's been doing it for 2 decades. He's still trading every day. He's still consistent. He's still crushing it. But basically, we said there's so many scammers and so many con artists out there, all these pump rooms and all these things that you know we could do things better. So we wish we had something like MIC when we first started. So we started the community. You know, 2019-ish. And, you know, thankfully, a lot of people joined, and we are now actually currently the highest rated, well-reviewed trading education on the planet. We have over 800 five-star reviews, and once someone joins, they don't leave. The reason why they don't leave is because once they learn the strategy, once they see what we're all about, once they see that it's real and it's repeatable, there's no reason to ever leave. But for us, we're very selective with who we want into our community. Because when we first started, we would just take anyone that was serious about learning. But what we failed to realize is people's timelines and people's horizons are not as, they're not as, they don't understand how long it actually takes, right? What I would say is if you could commit at least a year or 2 years, you will be successful. But these people come in and they think that it's going to take a month or 2 months to make money. And sure, I've seen some awesome people that do it very quickly. But at the end of the day, my goal is I want to only work with serious people. I want to only work with people that are actually willing to commit longer than a year. And if not, no problem. You know, I make a very significant amount of money from trading. All the money that we make from MIC, I give it to my team, my employees. I don't want to pay more taxes. Right. So I, you know, make it as a business expense, give it to my employees. I personally don't make too much off of it because, you know, trading is my priority. But if people are serious, you know, we're here to help them. If not, no problem, you know?
Excellent, excellent. Last thing I want to ask you, well, congratulations. You said you got engaged or
I
you're
did.
married. Yeah, so congrats there. You went out to Dubai, man. Tell us about Dubai, man. How was it out there?
Dubai is incredible. Dubai is incredible. So for my honeymoon, we did Egypt, Maldives, and Dubai. And Bro, everyone in Dubai looks exactly like me, so it's nice. You know, over here, they're randomly searching my ass here in America, but in Dubai, in Dubai, they think I own like an oil field or some shit. So it was nice hanging out there. But you know, there's a different level of wealth out there, man. It's just like even at the
Imagine.
mall, these guys are wearing like $1 million watches to the mall. They got like three, four girls there because in that religion, in that culture, you could have multiple wives. So these guys are rolling around with three, four women behind them. They're all like iced out, this, that. But the biggest thing that I loved about there was the safety and the respect. So the reason why people are able to wear these $1 million watches, the reason why people feel so comfortable is because, like, literally, if you commit any type of crime, you'll go to jail. Like, if you speed, you will go to jail. If you steal something, they will chop your hand off, type shit. And that's, it may be extreme, but like, I would rather be in a place that's more safe. I'm not going to commit a crime. So I like having that. And also, Dubai is very big on hospitality. The people there are super, super nice. Everyone there is super, super generous. And to me, Dubai was actually one of my favorite places I ever visited. And I actually want to go back. Best food, best culture. The only thing is they're kind of a little bit stingy on alcohol. The alcohol is like, you know, it's haram there, so like they don't really want to mess around with it. But you know, I'm not really a big drinker anyway, so like it doesn't really matter to me. But Dubai is incredible. Maldives was incredible. Next place I want to try is Japan, so we're gonna do a Japan trip sometime the end of this year. But I mean, if it wasn't for my wife, I'd be here working and trading all day long. She thankfully gets me away from the computer. Gets me away from all this stuff, which is a blessing. But
That's
you
good.
know, I'm passionate, man. I love what I do. I love trading. I always thought in my head, you know, would I be a trader forever? You know, it doesn't matter how much money I make, would I be a trader forever? And I think the answer is yes. Maybe I'll drop my risk down. Maybe I won't be so aggressive, but something about the markets just really speaks to me. Like, I love the game. I love learning. I love improving. I love seeing, you know, how the market changes. I love seeing if I'm still good enough to, you know, be successful here. And I think that especially with AI in the next, I don't know, 24 months, 36 months, everything is going to change even more in the markets, like everything, you know?
Yeah, man. I love hearing the passion, man, and the passion, the competitiveness. And I'm sure that's a huge reason. It's not the number one reason why you're successful trading, and it's a well-found point to what you said. Like, people just want to get into this for, like, I guess the money or like lifestyle, whatever. But if you don't got the passion for it, you're competing with guys like him, like you said. And you're not gonna make it.
Yeah,
So.
just take it seriously, man. I mean, like, again, one last story is like, I knew a guy, a true story. I knew a guy that would show up to the markets every day and like wear same thing that I'm wearing, like t-shirt and shorts and whatever. And he was just gambling. He was just gambling. He was, you know, up a couple hundred, down a couple hundred, up a couple hundred, down a couple hundred. And he came to me and he's like, dude, I want to treat trading more seriously. I feel myself like kind of losing control because like, there's a weird thing about the market. It's like when you're in front of these screens, you change a little bit, man. You could be like a normal guy in the real world, but as soon as you're in front of this, something screws up here, right? So he's like, dude, every time like I get in front of the computer, like I feel myself kind of losing control. I feel like I'm not treating trading seriously. Like, you know, like, what do you think I should do? Again, it sounds stupid. I said, instead of showing up to the desk with shorts and a t-shirt, put on a suit and tie, man. If you're going to go to a job, put on a suit and tie, come to your computer, and now when you're trading, you feel like you know your jacket is on. You see your tie or this, that. You treat it more seriously. Since then, that guy's been on to be a multi six-figure trader. Six figures is a tremendous amount of money for most people. And for him, all he had to do was change his clothes to take it more seriously. Because when you go to the casino, you're wearing flip-flop shorts, t-shirt. That's what you think. But if you're going to a day job, especially a Wall Street job, this is your Wall Street job. Your office is your office. So dress for success, put that suit and tie on, and you'd be surprised how much more serious you're going to take trading just by looking the part. You know, these days, I mean, I'm still looking like the way I'm looking, but I've earned the ability, right? I've earned that. And if you're struggling, maybe something as simple as that could change the game for you.
Well said. It's just like you said, I always I'm surprised, like, people, like, trading is for sure, like you said, it can be treated as gambling. It is, like, we're betting on stocks to go up or down. and you got flashing lights, you got charts moving. It's like being in a fucking like in front of a fucking slot machine. You know what I mean? And like an old lady, she's a sweet old lady, but she's sitting there just hammering the fucking button like nonstop, you know? And so your point's well founded, man. You treat it like JJ always said, we treat it like a business. You know what I mean? Put on a suit, whatever, do whatever you have to do to like get in that mindset. And it's just like these little tricks we have to play with our brain, you know, because like you said, like this is we're dealing with like our brains did not evolve to trade, to
Yeah.
analyze probabilities in like in this type of manner. So
Exactly.
yeah, I think playing these like tricks with yourself is like crucial.
It is. And remember that most retail people are trained to be consumers, right? So they're trained to be the sucker, right? They're not trained. You know, they train people to line up to buy a frickin' phone, right? Like that's marketing, right? They're trained to chase price, right? They're
Hey, you
trained
know what it
to,
is?
right?
For
And
experienced traders like us, for guys that treat trading as a business, as a career, we want as much uneducated money to enter the market. We
yeah, it's
want
food.
all these guys to not watch the videos. We want all these guys to treat it like gambling. We want all these guys to treat it like a casino because their money is the same color as mine. It's green. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You're trading against me. You're trading against you guys. You're trading against all of us professional traders. And you know what? It's in our best interest for them to not know anything, but for the select few that actually want to take it seriously, that are actually serious about your future, start acting like it, and you could have everything that you want and more.
Yep, absolutely. And with that, that's going to conclude today's episode of Confessions of a Market Maker. If you guys enjoyed the episode, please rate and review it for us. If you'd like to join a supportive professional community of traders, you can join us at thetradingsyndicate.org. Alex, let the listeners know where they can find you and anything else you want them to know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AlexTemesMIC, and I post live trading videos every single week.
Cool. Excellent, guys. Go check them out. So for Alex Temez, I'm John Studd. He's the gorilla of Howell Street. You stop so.